See, the trick is to take that we just experienced, bottle it, market it, and sell it. You know? That's the thing. If you sell that stuff, man, you make tons of money. How's everybody doing? You blessed? Blessed and ready for 2016? Huh? 15's behind us, 16 is it. I told Paul last year, right before we got into 15, 15's going to be the year where you look back and go, that's where we turned. That's it right there. That's where we turned is in 15. So 16, this is the year where we get to rolling. We get to doing. Get to getting after it. I'm gonna stay away from Paul's battle cry. I know what it is, but I'm going to stay away from it and let him reveal it to you. That's all right. I'll let you do it. You can do it better than I can. It's yours. Yeah. William Wallace. Brr. Yeah. You know, he sounded like the lion. Woof. Yeah. I'm sorry, there's a lot of jokes going on that y'all don't know about, so excuse me. I like to have a good time. Amen? Church ought to be a place of fun, right? Refuge. That's why they call it a sanctuary. Huh? That'll be a place where you can come and download a little bit, huh? Download some. Let the world get off of you. Let all the mess, the junk fall off of you. Get all that mess off of you. Get cranked up for the next week. Get a little jump start. A little kick in the pants. Amen? So Paul's been talking about last week. Y'all remember what Paul talked about last week? Never back down. What else? Be passionate. Be passionate about what you're fighting for. Number three, look back on your previous things that God has done for you in your life to show where you beat the lion, you beat the bear, this uncircumcised Philistine will be just as them. Never back down. Be passionate. Amen? Good stuff. Showing us how to fight. Well, me, personally, I love a good fight. Man, you know, like that UFC, what was that, McGregor, Conor McGregor, you know, there's two punches, everybody's down, that's not a good fight. You know, it lasted like 18 seconds or whatever it was. It was 13? What it was, it wasn't nothing. Just boom, boom, done. Okay. You know, you paid $60 or whatever Joel paid. I didn't pay, but you paid for it, didn't you? $60, $120. Yeah, the fight before it was worth it. Because it was a what? Good fight. It was a good fight. And everybody loves to watch a good fight. You know? And a fight's always good whenever you watch it. You like to watch a good fight. You like to look at that thing and go, man, that's a good fight. That's it, man, right there. That over there is a good fight. But when you're in the fight, it's not always going to be good. Sometimes the fight ain't really that good. When somebody punches you in the mouth, it don't feel good. There's nothing nice about it. There ain't nothing good about that. When you find yourself laying on your back and they're kicking you while you're down, that's nothing good. It's not good. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Yeah, it sucks. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look, there it is. Look at that. Don't even have to bring your Bible. Fight what? The good fight of faith. So you're in a fight that's supposed to be a good fight. And the only way to make a fight that you are in good is for you to what? What's the outcome you're looking for? Win. Thank you. Amen. Y'all go home now. A good fight that you are in is always a fight that you win. Always a fight that you win. And Paul, Big Paul here, is trying to tell us that the fight of faith is a good fight. It's a fight worth being in. Why? Because the outcome is always you win. If you fight the fight, you don't back down. Passionate. Looking back on previous victories. Using your faith to fight this fight. That you are looking at a good fight, which means the outcome is that you win. See, God's word, I said it last week, I think, during offering, that God's word will not return to him void, but it will accomplish and achieve everything that he sent it to accomplish and achieve. His word is going to work whether you participate with it or not. Whether or not you get in line with him is up to you. But his word is still going to work. So if you start to apply your faith and lay hold to that which God has already given you, holding fast to a confession and have that good confession, if you fight that fight of faith and lay hold to that thing, you are guaranteed a win. Because it's a good fight. It's a good fight. It's one we should be excited about. It's one we should not worry about the outcome. Because why? Because it's a good fight. What does that mean? If I'm in a fight that's good, what does that mean? I win. So I shouldn't worry about the outcome. I shouldn't worry about how this is going to happen. I shouldn't worry about how God's going to do this. How God's... Who cares? I win. I'm just going to fast forward to the end. I win. Every time. Every time I fight a fight of faith, it's a good fight, which means I win. It's guaranteed because God's word has stamped on it. He has guaranteed his word to last and to exist even beyond the existence of heaven, which is eternity. Heaven never stops. And he said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will never what? Pass away. His word is stronger than anything else in the entire universe. So when we fight a good fight of faith, we know the outcome. Why do we concern ourselves with what's going to happen? Why do we get worried? Why do we get in fear? Why do we get caught up in all the other mess? Why do we do all that when we know that the outcome is what? We win. If you're fighting a good fight of what? Faith. Keep contending in the noble contest of the faith. Don't stop. Stay in the thing. Take part in the great contest of faith. Be a part of what's going on. What's the most spiritual thing you could do? When you do it in faith, whatever that thing is that you're doing. If you do it in faith, you are now fighting the good fight. And you're fighting a good fight that you win. Every single time. Y'all with me? Now, I like what Paul said this morning. He said to me first thing this morning, he said the church needs to learn how to counterpunch. Counterpunch. So you get smacked in the mouth by the enemy, and what do? Oh, this is so bad. Somebody pray for me. Yeah. We get hit by the enemy, and man, it is over. It's done. We're up here crying. You want everybody in the world to pray for you, lay hands on you, somebody tell me what to do. My God, my God. Best thing you could do is what? Something. Get up off your tail and start fighting. Get up off your tail and start using your faith. Start winning this thing. Church needs to know how to counterpunch. But the problem is, or not the problem, the issue is, we go back to Paul last week, never back down. Why is it that little Paul, see, big Paul is Apostle Paul, little Paul is Pastor Paul. We got that settled up in the first service. If you weren't here for a first service, that's what we did in the first service. We figured out which Paul we were talking about. That was it. It was the whole message. Why is it that says don't back down? Be passionate. Why is that? Because he is secure enough to know that if he's asked to fight a fight, if God has asked him to stand up and fight a fight, he knows that all of heaven is backing him up and he's guaranteed a win. So of course he's going to stand up and not back down. Not going to move. Because I know that my God is greater than whatever that thing that is out there. Greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. What God has called me to do overcomes every obstacle that is out there every single time. If I get into faith and get into line with what he has called me to do and asking me to do, I am guaranteed to succeed in this life. But to even get there, you've got to understand where you are, who you are, what you are. Because what will happen is you'll leave church. Go out of here. Get away from the assembly of the believers. Get out there in the world. Next thing you know, the enemy will start telling you, well, you can't do that. Man, you sure can't get that done. What do you mean? What do you mean go over there and pray for somebody? You ain't going to do that. That's going to be embarrassing if don't nothing happen. How many of y'all have heard that one? That's going to embarrass you if don't nothing happen. What if you give and you empty out your checking account and that check that you forgot that you wrote 2 weeks ago clears? You're going to be overdrawn. You better not give that money. Better not do that. Don't you got a bill? You got that bill's coming up. You know, you got to pay Greg in a month, next month, 3 weeks. That was for about three quarters of y'all in here. Yeah, spiritual overdraft. The enemy starts pounding you and hitting you. And what happens is if you don't start moving, let me tell you this. He is the father of lies. He's not just a liar, but he's the father of them. So if he says anything at all, it's a lie. If he opens his mouth, it's a lie. If God opens his mouth, it's truth. If the devil starts talking and opening his mouth, it's a lie. God is good. The devil is bad. There you go. You can live on that for the rest of your days. So if he starts telling you that you're not going to get done what you're trying to get done, then you know for dang sure that you're going to be able to accomplish this thing. Whatever it may be. Pick something. I don't care. You'll be able to accomplish it. Why? Because the enemy's trying to tell you that you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. Well, thank you very much. That means that I can. That means that I'm going to overcome this thing. That means that no matter what it looks like, Mr. Devil, no matter how it seems to be, I'm still going to come out on top of this thing because you're the father of lies and you opened your mouth and you're just a stupid liar. And that's it. That's it. He's just lied to you. So whenever the enemy starts to tell you stuff, and you're sitting back, not only is he a liar, but you also got to know who you are and where you at. It's kind of like, y'all ever seen, I'm finna go to a movie, y'all ever seen The Matrix? Yeah. Yeah. Right. You know, do you like that? Any more and I'd have broke down, it'd hurt. Yeah, y'all had to lay hands on me for a show. Boy, been in the hospital. So the Matrix, right? Neo, okay? Mr. Anderson, okay? Neo is the one. And everybody in the movie theater knows that he's the one, except him. He ain't got it figured out yet. All the rest of us watching the movie, we got it figured out 5 minutes into the movie when we find out that there's this chosen one. We know it's him. You know it. Why? Because he's the highest paid actor in the movie. He's the one. Yeah, he's the worst one, but he's the highest paid. Yeah, I don't know. So Neo is going through the whole movie. And in the last 15 minutes of the movie, he realizes what? He's the one. And as soon as he realizes who he is, man, he stops the bullets. Remember? He held his hand up, bullet stopped, and he reached up and grabbed one and kind of looked at it, and then the rest of them fell down, and he eyeballed the agents there, and you get the music, boom, you know, it's on in. And he runs, it jumps in the guy, blows him up. I mean, it's cool. He could do stuff. He could fly. I mean, Neo becomes Superman. He'd do anything in the world because he knows who he is. He stepped over into who he's supposed to be. Ephesians chapter 2, please, whoever is running the media, Ephesians chapter 2. He realized who he was. He could see the Matrix. He gets it. Where's my Ephesians chapter 2? Is it blank? It's in Ephesians. Everybody go to Ephesians chapter 2. You know how to find Ephesians, don't you? General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Yeah, GEPC. Yeah, props to Roddy Schaefer. What's up, Roddy, if you're listening? My boy. Ephesians chapter 2, Verse 4, I'm sorry, y'all. Oh, I apologize. I didn't tell you what verse, did I?
Yeah. Thanks, Greg. You're so awesome.
But God. You know, everybody's got a big butt, even God. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Next verse. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let's go back. Let's read that again. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, even when you was all caught up in all the mess that you was doing or still doing, I don't care. Pick it. Even when you were caught up in all of that, he made you alive together with Jesus. By grace you've been saved. And he raised you up together with Jesus and made you sit together with Jesus in heavenly places in Christ. Who? Jesus. Here's the thing that you got to get a hold to. 2,000 years ago, the battle was won. It's already happened. It's already done. There's no more fighting to get something anymore. It was done. You have now been raised up with Jesus. Him. The man. The Messiah. The big daddy. The guy that split time in half. You raised up with him. And you're sat down with him in heavenly places. Where's them heavenly places? If y'all go to chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 18 or 19? Who? 20. Verse 20. This is kind of like going to faith class. Faith 101. Which he wrought in Christ. Just talking about his work that he did. Wrought or worked in Christ. When he raised him from the dead. Y'all all agree that God raised Jesus from the dead. Amen? Okay, you wouldn't be here if you didn't. And set him at his right hand where? In heavenly places. So this is what happened. Jesus died, right? On the third day, he did what? Right? That's Easter, coming up in a little bit. And when he was raised from the dead, God set him where? At his right hand. Where's that? In heavenly places. Now, where are heavenly places? It's in the next verse. Is it up there yet? There it is. Far above. Now, this is where the heavenly places are, where Jesus is seated, where you've been sat with him. Okay? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. You have been seated far above all principality of power and might and dominion, and every name that's ever named. I said it in the first service. If it's got a name, then you've been placed above it. Let's pull one out. You ready? Cancer. We've been placed above every name that has been named. We're seated with Jesus in heavenly places. Our position spiritually can never get any better than what it is today. You can never do better than what you've done. You're it. You are part of the chosen. You like Neo, man. You just like, you can do anything. How? I could do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. Why is that? Because you've been seated with him. You've been raised with him. You're set down with him in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might, dominion, every name that's named, not only in this age, but also with justice. Come. If it's got a name, you're over it. God did it this way. He said, look, There's going to be a bunch of different diseases and stuff that are out there. We don't even know the stuff that we're going to be talking about 20 years from now. We don't have a clue. But God, what he did to fix all that, he just said, look, if it's got a name, don't worry about it. If it's got a name, you've been seated above it in heavenly places. Oh, well, they're going to call it AIDS. It's HIV. Seated above it in heavenly places. It's called cancer. Seated above it. Leukemia. Seated above it in heavenly places. Far above all that mess. From a position of authority and a position of rest. Because what do when you sit down? You do. You take all the... Yeah, I'm going to show you. You ready? Hey, you see I rolled up my pants? Angel said I was pulling my pants up in the first service, so I rolled them up so I wouldn't step on them. She said I kept on pulling up on my pants. Is that y'all's job? When you sit down, your legs cease to hold the weight of your body. Okay? You transfer the weight of what you were carrying to something else. Okay? We call it a chair. When God set you down, he set you down so that the weight of all the stuff that you think you're supposed to carry will be placed on something else. You no longer carry the weight of sin. Jesus did it. You no longer carry the weight of sickness. Jesus took it. You no longer carry the weight of poverty because Jesus has it. Your position now is seated. Check this out. Genesis. Man, I love this about Genesis. Anybody ever read Genesis before? Maybe? Yeah? Okay. I mean, if you don't want to, that's okay. The first couple of chapters are really good. You get into chapter 3, you're like, Chapter 4, 5, and 6 are good. Chapter 11 is a good one. And then it just kind of starts getting harder and harder and harder to read. And that's why I tell people don't read the Bible from cover to cover. I mean, not unless you're like super spiritual. But like if you're like me and you're like not super spiritual and can get bored real quick, start in the Gospels and read the Gospels and then go over to Acts and all the epistles. Stay out of Revelation for now. No reason to get into that. Leviticus. Yeah, you go to Leviticus. It's just like, oh, Jesus, why'd you write this? What is this? Why? I mean, it's all good. Don't get me wrong. It's all good. It's the inspired word of God, but it's just like, man, come on. Lots of history in there. In Genesis, though, if you take a look at God, what he did, he started on the first day, and he spoke, and there was light, and he spoke, and there was land. He separated light from darkness, blah, you know, did all that stuff, creating here, creating there, making this, doing that over there. And he does that every day. And then once he gets the whole thing set up on the sixth day, he makes man. All right? So Adam is made in the middle of the sixth day, somewhere around there, okay? Adam's first full day on the earth is God's day of rest. So Adam's first full day, his time on earth, Adam originally stepped into, born in, God's rest. Everything was already set up, prepared, ready for him. Here, it's your earth, you go handle that thing. And he stepped into rest. Then the enemy came down and screwed the thing up, blah, 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 blah. We get into all that. And then Jesus comes right back, fulfills the entirety of the law, right? Takes on all the sin of mankind, dies, go to hell 3 days, whoops up on the enemy, raised again, set up in heavenly places. We're placed up in him with him. Why? Because God is trying to restore that day of rest for mankind. That day of rest was restored when Jesus was placed in his high places, far above all principality, power, and might. We step right back in to that same rest on the seventh day. There is a rest for the people of God. It still exists. The Sabbath is not talking about a day of the week. It is talking about a lifestyle of rest, a lifestyle of belief. God has taken care of this thing. I will fight my good fight. I will stay in faith because I know if I stay in faith on this thing, God's going to bring me out. I ain't worried. I ain't going to let it get on me. There's a lot in this, man. Watchman Nee. I like to read after Watchman Nee. He's a pretty good guy. Watchman Nee says that when you fight to get the victory, then you have lost the battle at the very outset. If you are fighting to obtain something, a victory of some type, then you are losing your battle today. You have got to. That's the reason why he's so firm on don't back down. Why not back down? Because it's already won. It's a good fight that's already been won. That which God has called you to is already there. It's secure. He set it up in Jesus. He knew you couldn't do it, so he let Jesus do it for you. And that victory is already in him. We stand as victorious champions. We're like Rocky Balboa in Rocky III. We are the champion. We are the ones that are winning. He wins every fight, every fight, every fight, every fight. Here comes Clubber Lang. Oh, my goodness. Clubber Lang come up. It ain't going to be no big deal, Mickey. We're going to retire and join the Soikis, you know? I mean, and then what happens? The enemy, Clubber Lang, does something to whom Rocky really, really, really loves and gets him all messed up. And what does Rocky do? He loses third round. He forgot that he was the champ. He forgot who he was. He left his seat of who he was because he's all jacked up in his mind and lost to Clubber Lang. Mickey dies. Apollo Creed comes back. Man, Rocky gets his thing on, gets his groove on, learns how to dance. What's that? He's reminded, Apollo is showing him, you're the champ, man. Don't you forget who you are. Don't you forget who you are. Now, once you get in your mindset of who you are and where you come from and what you can do, now you could go in and fight. Now you could go in and lay him out in the third round. He beat Clubber Lang in the third round. See, Clubber put him out in the third and Rocky put him down in the third. The shortest fight that Rocky Balboa ever had. Normally he goes 15 rounds because that was always his thing. Yeah, he was only 6-3, that's right. Odds were stacked up against him. Clubber said, what's my prediction? Pain. And the enemy's like that. If you were to interview the enemy right now, hey man, you're going in to fight with old Jeremy Uphall here. Say that right? I said it. I always mess it up. Going to fight here at Uphall. What do you think? What's your prediction? What's your prediction, Lucifer? What do you think is going to happen? And he goes, pain. That's it. Yeah, I pity the fool. I got a lot of mo, you know. But if Jeremy is situated and knows who he is in Christ and where he's seated, and knows that he's already won the battle before it even begins, knows that he's a victorious, invincible champion set up in Christ Jesus, all he's got to do is stand up and say, devil, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get out. And that's it. It's over. It's a good fight. Why? You win. You win every time. It's a guarantee on it every single time. If you fight the fight of faith, there's a lot more, but I think I'm done. Come on up, Stephen. Big Paul said this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He said, I fought the good fight, finished my course, and kept the faith. What's the good fight that he fought? Keeping the faith. Don't ever forget, you don't back down. You do not back down. You are passionate about what you believe in and who you are and whose you are and your God and your Lord and Savior. And you always look back on the previous battles that have been won up till now. Even if you have to go so far back to reach into and see what all Jesus did. You reach back and see those previous victories because everything that Jesus did, he said that we will do also, and greater works than these will we do. Everything he did, I could count that. That's a previous battle. I know how to fight. I know how to fight. You fight this good fight of faith, keeping the faith. And you end your life on your deathbed. And this is what Paul, the Apostle Paul, I think another later on in the verse, it says that I'm poured out as a drink offering. Poured out. Meaning that I have completed and finished my race. I have done everything that God's called me to do. I don't want to sit on my deathbed. I don't want to be on my deathbed however many years from now, looking back with regret of all the things that I should have done that I didn't do. All the things that God called me to that I never stepped over into. All the dreams, hopes, and desires that I never did see fulfilled in my life because I wasn't willing to step into the faith and step into what God had already given me. I was too busy sitting back instead of doing something. I want to end this life empty. What's the fullest place in the world? The fullest place in the world. Most wealthiest place, the fullest place in the world. Y'all know? It's the graveyard. It's wealthy. There's books that have never been written, movies that have never been made, plays that have never been written. There's ideas that have never come out because people wouldn't do anything. Why wouldn't they do anything? Because the enemy had them convinced that they couldn't. That's why this church says the most spiritual thing you could do is something. Get to moving. Fight the good fight of faith. You're going to win. You've already won. Just get up. Don't lay down and let the enemy kick you around and treat you like dirt. You get up. You're an invincible champion. You are the champion. We are the champions, my friends. He don't know how to play that, so. Yeah. You know. That's pitiful. It's pitiful. There's going to be more to this message. Come back next week. I got next week, right? I got a lot more. I got a lot of mo on that. All right, I got kind of like Club Lang. I got a lot of mo. I got a lot of mo. There's so much more in here. But the hard part is you making the quality decision that you are the one, that you are called, that you are a child of God, that you are seated in heavenly places far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that's named. Cancer wants to knock on my door. It's got to go because I'm over it. I've been seated far above that thing. It can't touch me. Y'all remember the 70 disciples? I'm closing, I promise. The 70 disciples, they came back. They told Jesus, they said, look, this is Luke chapter 10, verse 19. They said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, behold, I've given you authority or power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means will hurt you. It cannot hurt you. So stand up and don't back down. Stay in there and fight. Because the battle is already won. Y'all stand to your feet.